Did everyone have a good Halloween? Communicate Health is actually, we're in Northampton, Massachusetts, which is one of those towns that actually postponed Halloween. So we've rescheduled our holiday. So like Tammy said, I'm going to talk about advocacy today. So Communicate Health, we do all sorts of health literacy and usability work, but I sort of have my advocacy hat on today. I'm going to talk about some different initiatives that are going on both at APHA and SOFI, which is the Society for Public Health Education. Do we have SOFI folks in the room? SOFI folks, all right. And as a plain language person, I don't know why when I come to APHA, I think that the title of my presentation needs to take up three lines of the slide, which is embarrassing. I have no relationships to disclose. So I want to talk specifically about ways to integrate health literacy into sort of your own organization, and then talk more broadly about some of the advocacy pieces that are going on at an organizational or association level. So at APHA, I looked this up, and hopefully there are not APHA advocacy folks in the room, or if there are, you should correct me if I'm saying anything that is inaccurate. But APHA defines an advocate as a person who argues for a cause, a supporter, or a defender. And to advocate is to act in support of a particular issue or cause. And I went, I don't know if anyone has had a chance to sort of venture outside of the convention center, but there's a really great exhibit at the National Gallery of Art on Andy Warhol. It's really awesome if you get a chance to check it out. But Andy Warhol had a really good quote that I thought was kind of appropriate for this, and he said, "They always say time changes things, but you actually have to change them yourself," which I think is sort of sums up advocacy. So APHA does sort of two types of advocacy campaigns. They'll do public and policymaker education campaigns, and then they'll do advocacy campaigns that are more about sort of engaging the public members and target groups in, you know, lobbying and advocating with their policymaker. So APHA, for those who are maybe slightly less involved, does all sorts of really cool advocacy projects, and I think a lot of these have some potential for health literacy. So this is just some of them. So how does APHA sort of decide if it's going to act on one of its advocacy or policy issues? It'll think about a bunch of different questions, and these are just a few of them, but one is, you know, is it an issue of top priority for APHA? What has APHA done previously? Does clear support exist within the membership, particularly among sections, forums, or SPIGs with relevant expertise? So as we know, this session was put on by the public health and...
It's community health planning and policy development together with... With the public health education.
Education, right. So that was a lot of acronyms. And then what other organizations are weighing in? So APHA's policy on health literacy, it's titled Health Literacy Confronting a National Public Health Problem. It was passed last year under sort of APHA's larger umbrella of access to care, which is one of the main priorities for all sort of advocacy and action and policy at APHA. And it calls for a whole bunch of really great things. And I think one of the things that sort of was interesting when I was putting together this presentation is the APHA policy and the SOFI resolution actually take a different approach to advocating and improving health literacy, and there's a whole bunch of great synergy to sort of take from both of these. So in terms of the first one here, we can almost check that off our list a little bit because we have the Plain Writing Act of 2010. And also the second one, we now have our Affordable Care Act, so we're making good progress. I wanted to call out just specifically the fifth one here about requiring the U.S. Department of Education to assess health literacy every 3 years. So we've assessed health literacy one time to date. That was in 2003, and that data was published in 2006, and that was part of the National Assessment of Adult Literacy. And that was the first time we measured sort of health literacy at a population level. So we definitely want that to continue, but also the second part, to track the economic impact of health literacy on the nation. This is really important. Right now there's, I would say, about two studies that people often cite, but we need a lot more studies, and we need to really get that data on economic impact. So this is a really nice point to sort of put a little bit of pressure on. And then the final point, I think, is also really good in terms of involving and advocating for vulnerable populations and their right to informed health decision-making. And I think this idea of informed health decision-making is really key and is a really important phrasing for APHA, even as we think about, you know, how we intersect with the Joint Commission and other organizations. All right, so turning to Sophie. Sophie has a resolution on health literacy, Gateway to Improving the Public's Health, and that was also adopted last year. And so again, it sort of advocates for a different set of issues that I think a lot of these have some potential for APHA. I really like the first one, adhere to plain language in Sophie's own communications. So I think that's something that's really interesting for us to think about as APHA members and supporters, is, you know, what type of communications is APHA putting out there? You know, thinking about dedicating an issue of a journal or even an annual meeting to the topic of health literacy. And then, you know, all the way down to working with other organizations like APHA and NACHO in terms of advocating. So I think there's a lot of points here that as sort of APHA members we could think about, you know, which ones we might want to press for and urge action within our association. So just moving really quickly, you know, for what we can do maybe in our own organizations and agencies. We can all be advocates for health literacy improvement. And these, I just put up sort of five ideas to get started. This is by no means any type of exhaustive list, but it might be some simple things that maybe a few folks hadn't thought about before. Incorporating health literacy into your staff training and orientation, you know, even if it's just having everybody go to, you know, CDC's health literacy page or going to some of the great resources on health.gov and ODPHP, and just sort of getting that into your culture and the training of your organization. You can require all materials, forms, and written information to be in plain language. So you could require that, you know, from your own employees. You could require that from anybody that, you know, any vendors or any folks that you might contract with. You can work it into grants. Incorporate it into program goals, objectives, and strategic plans. That's obviously really key. I think what Nikki presented on is a good example of that at sort of the national level. But, you know, getting health literacy into that Surgeon General's call to action was really instrumental in and her office being able to move forward with a lot of their initiatives. So if you sort of get it at the higher level, it can be really helpful. And often, you know, funding and resources can flow from that. So grants and contracts. And then creating a health literacy action plan for your organization. Celia talked about a national action plan to improve health literacy, which is a really great resource. And the CDC has also put out sort of a tool to help organizations create their own action plan. It has all sorts of worksheets and templates you can fill out, so that's a really good resource. And then HHS has a sample organizational action plan, which might be verging on getting a little outdated at this point, but it's just a model of, you know, I think it takes a fictional health center and walks through a couple goals and objectives around improving health literacy. So those are two good resources to check out if you're interested in taking action at your own organizational level. And I can flash those back up if people need more time to write them down. So, like Tammy said, we wanted to spark hopefully a little bit of discussion about some things that we might be able to do, you know, both as a section and also as an association. Here are just a couple ideas that I, you know, was thinking about in terms of a special journal issue, maybe an op-ed, maybe some sort of campaign that APHA could do, you know, to sort of advocate around the issues. Maybe we could co-sponsor with our friends of the Joint Commission or other folks who are really active in APHA. And this last point of sort of how do we kind of get plain language to be be a part of this whole, the whole sort of national conversation around prevention, because we have a national prevention strategy, and there's a lot of focus now with Healthy People 2020 on prevention. And so how do we make sure, you know, and especially as APHA, that we are making plain language and health literacy a part of that, that dialogue. So we wanted to, obviously we'll take questions, but we wanted to open it up to maybe a little bit of discussion if people have ideas or questions, or want to volunteer and change the world. We can start now.